All right, so it looks like someone is ready to become a master strategist. We've got a whole stack of sources here on Sun Tzu's Art of War, study guides, quizzes, even a full audiobook. In this deep dive, we're going to break down the core principles of this ancient text, Sun Tzu's strategies for success in warfare, but we're also going to see how those apply to modern challenges too. So get ready for some aha moments as we connect these timeless ideas to the world today.
It really is incredible how relevant this text still is, even centuries later.
Absolutely. Okay, so first up, Sun Tzu is all about winning without actually fighting. The study guide really emphasizes this, achieving total victory by subduing the enemy before combat even begins.
Yeah, it's really a brilliant strategy. Think about it. By outmaneuvering your opponent strategically, you preserve your own resources, minimize losses, and you emerge in a stronger position. Sun Tzu understood that brute force. Brute force was really a last resort, not the ideal.
So where do you see this kind of preemptive victory approach in the real world today, outside of a military context, like say in a really tense business negotiation?
Oh, absolutely. Imagine you're heading into a business negotiation. Now, instead of going in with your list of demands, what if you really focused on understanding your opponent, their needs and goals? Maybe you uncover some common ground or potential areas for collaboration.
Right.
By framing that negotiation as a win-win from the very beginning, you might just avoid a battle altogether.
Right, you shift the mindset from I need to win to how can we both succeed?
Exactly. And that leads perfectly into Sun Tzu's five constant factors. These are like the foundational elements of strategic thinking. The study guide lists moral law, heaven earth commander, and method and discipline.
Okay, so we're seeing a theme here. Preparation, understanding the situation, and having a clear plan. How does that actually translate into action, though? Can you give us like a real world scenario?
Let's take the Battle of Thermopylae, where a small Spartan force held off a massive Persian army for days. Obviously, the Spartans were incredibly brave warriors, but they also chose their battlefield very strategically. They used that narrow mountain pass to their advantage, basically neutralized the Persians' superior numbers. This really shows the importance of Earth in Sun Tzu's framework, understanding and utilizing the terrain.
So it's not just about brute strength, it's about leveraging every advantage you've got. What about these more abstract factors like heaven?
It is abstract. But think of heaven as those factors that are outside your direct control. Things like weather timing, even luck. In the case of Thermopylae, the Spartans held the pass for days, but they were ultimately betrayed. A local revealed a hidden path to the Persians. And this kind of unexpected turn of events highlights the importance of anticipating potential risks and adapting.
Okay, I see how this could apply to like a project at work. You need a clear plan, method, and discipline, a strong leader commander, and you got to be ready to adapt to those unexpected challenges. Heaven.
Right. And then there's deception, another key element of Sun Tzu's strategy. The quiz answer key is full of examples of using deception to outsmart your enemy. Things like feigning weakness, setting traps, spreading misinformation.
It sounds kind of sneaky. I guess in a high-stakes situation, you use every tool you've got. Could we apply these tactics ethically, though, in a modern context, like a business deal?
Well, it's a tough question. There's a fine line between strategic maneuvering and outright deception. But think about it this way. What if you're launching a new product? You want to keep your competitors guessing. You might release just bits of information, focusing on some features while downplaying others. Create a certain perception.
Ah, so you're being selective with the information you share.
Exactly. Understanding that power of perception.
That's fascinating.
We're always navigating these subtle power dynamics, whether we realize it or not. And I think that's one of the things that makes Sun Tzu's work so relevant even today.
Now, Sun Tzu also stresses the importance of avoiding those long, drawn-out battles. No lengthy campaigns or sieges.
Right. He knew that prolonged conflict drains resources, demoralizes your troops, and it creates opportunities for new threats to emerge. The longer a conflict drags on, the more unpredictable it becomes.
But aren't there times when persistence is key? Like when giving up just isn't an option?
It's a fair point.
Yeah.
There's definitely a time for resilience and tenacity. But Sun Tzu's advocating for a strategic approach to conflict. If a campaign is becoming a war of attrition, draining your resources without a clear path to victory, maybe it's time to step back and reassess.
So it's about knowing when to push forward and when to change tactics. Which reminds me of another concept, direct and indirect tactics.
Yeah.
The glossary defines direct as confronting the enemy head on, and indirect is more about being cunning and finding unexpected ways to gain an advantage.
Like a dance, sometimes you lead with a bold, assertive step, Other times, a subtle shift can completely change the dynamic.
Okay, I like that analogy. So when would you use a direct tactic?
Let's say a competitor is really encroaching on your market share. A direct tactic could be launching a marketing campaign directly targeting their customer base. Highlight your strengths and differentiate your product.
And indirect.
An indirect approach might be developing a totally new product, something innovative that disrupts the market. Force your competitor to play catch up.
So choose the right tool for the job. Direct when you need to assert yourself. Indirect when you need to outmaneuver the competition.
Exactly. And this leads us to another powerful concept. Energy and decision in battle. Sun Tzu uses this amazing analogy of a crossbow and trigger. Building energy is like drawing back the bowstring, creating that potential force, and making a decision is like releasing the trigger at just the right moment.
It's not enough to just work hard. You need to know when to strike.
Think about it in terms of giving a presentation. You spend days researching, crafting your slides, practicing your delivery. That's building energy. But the real magic happens when you step onto that stage. You connect with your audience. Deliver your message with confidence and precision. That's the decision, the release of all that pent-up energy.
I love that analogy. It makes me think about how we apply this to other areas of life, like pursuing a creative passion or even building a relationship. It's about putting in the time and effort, but also knowing when to take that leap of faith.
Absolutely. And this all goes back to one of Sun Tzu's most fundamental principles: know yourself and know your enemy. The essay questions really dive deep into this idea, emphasizing that victory comes from understanding your own strengths, but also your opponent's weaknesses.
Knowledge is power.
And the audiobook has some incredible historical examples that illustrate this point. Take the Battle of Cannae, where the Carthaginian general Hannibal was facing a much larger Roman army. Hannibal knew the Romans relied on brute force and predictable formations, so he used that to his advantage. He feigned a retreat to lure them in, then encircled and absolutely decimated their forces.
So he used their strengths against them. How could we apply this to, say, a job interview?
Well, you would research the company, understand their culture, anticipate the interviewer's expectations. You'd also assess your own skills, highlighting those that align with their needs, while addressing any potential weaknesses proactively.
So you're prepping like it's a chess match.
Exactly. And speaking of gathering intelligence, that brings us to espionage.
Ooh, spies.
The art of war goes deep into the different types of spies, their roles, and how to manage them effectively. Sun Tzu even categorizes them: local, inward-converted, doomed, surviving. Each serves a unique purpose: infiltrating the enemy ranks, spreading misinformation, gathering vital intelligence.
Wow, it's like Spy 101. Why was Sun Tzu so obsessed with spies, though?
He understood that a commander without accurate intelligence is basically flying blind, vulnerable to ambushes and strategic blunders. The audiobook is full of stories about leaders who underestimated this, and they paid the price.
It's like having eyes and ears everywhere. Are all spies like James Bond, though? Dashing and daring?
Not necessarily. In fact, one of the most famous spies in history was Mata Hari, an exotic dancer and courtesan during World War I.
Wait, Mata Hari, the one who was accused of being a double agent?
The very same. Her story really highlights the inherent risks of espionage.
Ooh, tell me more.
Well, Mata Hari was known for these captivating performances and her connections to high-ranking officials on both sides of the conflict. She was eventually accused of spying for Germany and executed by the French. To this day, historians still debate the extent of her involvement. Was she truly a double agent or just a pawn caught in the crossfire?
Wow, that's a story full of intrigue.
It really reinforces Sun Tzu's point. Knowledge is power, but obtaining it can be dangerous.
Okay, we've covered so much, from principles of victory to deception to the world of spies. It's amazing how much wisdom is packed into this ancient text.
It really is. And the beauty of Sun Tzu's work is that it goes beyond the battlefield. These principles apply to any situation where strategy and decision-making are paramount. Business politics, our personal lives.
I can't wait to see how these strategies play out in the modern world.
And that's exactly what we'll be exploring in part two of our deep dives, the enduring relevance of the art of war in the digital age. Welcome back to our deep dive into the art of war. We've been unpacking some of Sun Tzu's key strategies, and I'm really curious to see how they apply to the digital age.
Yeah, we were just talking about spies and intelligence gathering.
Exactly. And in today's world, that battlefield has shifted from physical terrain to the virtual realm. Instead of armies clashing on open fields, we have hackers, malware, information warfare playing out online.
So where are the front lines in this new digital landscape? It feels like they could be anywhere and everywhere.
You're absolutely right. They exist in the code of our software, the networks that connect us, and the flow of information that shapes our perceptions.
And if information is the new battleground, does that mean data is the most valuable resource?
Absolutely. Protecting your own data while trying to exploit or disrupt your opponent's data, that becomes paramount.
Okay, so who are the modern-day spies in this digital battleground?
Hackers, cybersecurity experts, even AI systems designed to sift through massive amounts of data, looking for vulnerabilities and opportunities.
It's like we're all playing a constant game of chess.
That's a great analogy. And just like in Sun Tzu's time, access to accurate and timely intelligence is crucial for making the right moves.
And what about deception? Does that still play a role in this digital world?
Oh, absolutely. Think about creating false trails online, manipulating social media narratives, using AI to generate deepfakes. These are all modern versions of the tactics Sun Tzu described centuries ago.
It's a bit unsettling when you think about it. It makes you realize how easily information can be manipulated and how important it is to be really careful about what we see online.
Exactly. One of the key takeaways from Sun Tzu is to always be aware of the information landscape around you. Question your assumptions. Be critical of the information you consume. And understand that not everything is as it appears.
So how do we protect ourselves? It feels like the threats are constantly evolving.
Just like a commander needs to fortify their physical defenses, we need to strengthen our digital defenses. Strong passwords, multi-factor authentication, being cautious about phishing scams, those are all crucial steps.
It sounds like we need to be as vigilant online as we are in the real world. But let's shift gears for a moment. Bring this back to a more personal level. How can we apply these principles to achieve our goals, overcome challenges in our own lives?
One of the most powerful principles from Sun Tzu is the importance of self-knowledge, understanding your strengths and weaknesses. That's the foundation for making smart decisions and developing effective strategies.
Right, know thyself. But Sun Tzu takes it a step further.
He does. He emphasizes knowing your opponent, or in this case, the challenge you're facing. If you're dealing with a difficult problem, whether it's at work, in a relationship, or in your personal life, take the time to really analyze the situation. What are the obstacles? What are the potential solutions? Who are the key players?
It's like a SWOT analysis for your life.
Precisely. And once you have that understanding, you can start developing a strategy. Think about the different tactics. Direct approach or a more subtle indirect one.
And don't forget about that balance between energy and decision. It's not just about working hard. It's about knowing when to make your move.
Timing is crucial. And remember Sun Tzu's emphasis on flexibility and adaptability. Just like water adapts to the container it's in, you need to adjust your plans as circumstances change.
So it's not just about having a plan. It's about being willing to deviate from it when necessary.
Exactly. Sometimes the most successful strategies are the ones that evolve, the ones that adapt.
That makes a lot of sense. So Sun Tzu's Art of War, it's not just a historical artifact. It's a blueprint for navigating the complexities of the digital age and our own personal lives.
That's the brilliance of his work. It transcends boundaries, offering timeless wisdom for anyone seeking to achieve their goals.
It's not just about winning wars, it's about winning in life. But what about those who might say that Sun Tzu's teachings are too ruthless, too focused on winning at all costs?
It's a valid concern. Some interpretations of Sun Tzu do focus on the manipulative aspects, the aggressive aspects, but I think there's another layer there.
So it's not just about being cunning and ruthless.
No. Sun Tzu repeatedly emphasizes morality, discipline, and compassion. He knew that a true leader cares for their people and seeks to minimize suffering even in conflict.
So how do we reconcile those two seemingly contradictory ideas, the focus on winning and the emphasis on morality?
I think it comes down to understanding the context. Sun Tzu was advising rulers and generals. In a time of constant warfare, his teachings were about survival, protecting the state.
So pragmatism.
But that doesn't mean we can't apply his principles ethically. We can learn from Sun Tzu's strategic thinking, his emphasis on preparation and adaptability, without embracing the ruthlessness. The key is to interpret his work through a modern lens, focus on strategic thinking leadership, achieving our goals in a way that aligns with our values.
So it's not about conquering at all costs. It's about using strategy and intelligence to navigate challenges and achieve our goals in a way that benefits everyone.
Well said. It's about finding that balance between strength and compassion, strategy and ethics.
Okay, that's a really insightful way to think about it. And it makes me wonder, it really makes you think about all the different ways we can apply Sun Tzu's ideas.
It does, doesn't it?
We've covered so much in this deep dive into the Art of War, from ancient battlefields to modern boardrooms, even to like our own personal lives.
It's fascinating how these principles can apply to so many different areas, isn't it?
Absolutely. What stands out to you as the most crucial takeaway from all of this?
You know, for me, it always comes back to that core principle, knowing yourself and your enemy. It's like the foundation of all strategic thinking. Whether you're up against a competitor in the marketplace, or facing a challenging project at work, or even dealing with your own internal struggles, that deep understanding of both sides is just essential.
I totally agree. And it connects back to what we were saying earlier about avoiding conflict. Sun Tzu really makes it clear that the best victories are the ones won without a fight.
Exactly. Sometimes the most strategic move is to step back, assess the situation, and find a path to a peaceful resolution, especially when the potential costs of conflict are just so high.
There's this one quote from The Art of War that really stuck with me. Sun Tzu compares a victorious army to a pound weight placed on a scale against a single grain.
Yeah. Such a powerful image, right? That sense of overwhelming advantage.
It makes you think about how we can cultivate that kind of weight in our own lives, you know, build that solid foundation of knowledge and skills and resilience.
Right. I think it starts with really being intentional about our own growth, investing in our development, expanding our knowledge, honing our skills, and building those strong relationships that support us. It's about taking ownership of our own training, so to speak.
And never underestimating the importance of planning. Like, a general wouldn't go into battle without a strategy. We shouldn't approach our goals without a well-thought-out plan either.
Absolutely. And just like Sun Tzu talked about the importance of spies and intelligence gathering, we need to be constantly learning and adapting ourselves. Gathering information to make good decisions, whether that's reading industry reports, seeking out mentors, or just paying attention to the world around us.
So it's not just about having a plan. It's about being flexible and adaptable, too.
Exactly. The world is always changing. And the only way to stay ahead is to be a lifelong learner. Embrace new knowledge. Seek out different perspectives. Never stop asking questions.
Love that. Before we wrap up, I'd love to hear your final thought for our listeners.
Okay, well, Sun Tzu was writing about warfare centuries ago, but his principles are still so relevant today.
They really are.
So as you think about your own goals and aspirations, your own battles, ask yourself, are you approaching them with a clear strategy? Do you understand yourself and the challenges you face? Are you prepared to adapt, to be flexible, to choose your battles wisely? And are you leading with both strength and compassion?
Those are some powerful questions. It's not just about reading The Art of War. It's about taking those ideas and putting them into practice.
Exactly. And who knows? By studying these strategies, we can all become a little wiser, a little more strategic, and a little more prepared for whatever comes our way.
That's a perfect note to end on. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Sun Tzu's timeless wisdom. Until next time, keep strategizing.